Once again, I welcome you to our Sunday service. And this morning we're going to begin by hearing the words from Psalm 100. And Jeanette's going to read this for us today.
Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise, and give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thank you, Jeanette, for that reading. And it's been good to hear from you this week, from Martin and Kate, and from Peter Livett, from Graham, and from Jeanette, and from Peter, and from Kath. Now, before we come to look further at Jesus' teaching on true Christian prayer, let's sing this song together that reminds us that the Christian now wants to speak to God in prayer, because we are those who have been ransomed and healed and restored and forgiven. And so we come again to look at what Jesus says to us about true Christian prayer. And I guess that we all desire to pray to God in a way that is pleasing to him and that he will find acceptable. And so far in our series, we have learnt and seen some important truth from Jesus about prayer that is acceptable and honouring to God. We can't just think, well, I'm okay, I've been praying for years. I don't need someone telling me that I need to learn to pray. I know how to pray, I'm okay. And in a sense, that's just what Jesus' disciples thought at first. They were expert prayers. Prayed twice a day in the temple all their lives. But actually, none of that turned out to be prayer that was right and pleasing and acceptable to God. So we mustn't dismiss this teaching from Jesus. This is Jesus. This is God himself telling us how to pray. So we need to listen and check ourselves. And we've heard Jesus say that all prayer is to the Father. It's to the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes Christian prayer unique. It's not like all other prayers. And because we are praying to the Father, Jesus says, don't pray empty words. Don't say to him things that you don't really mean. Don't just mouth things. Get through a time of prayer. Don't make prayer into a meaningless duty that you just do. And then we've heard Jesus say to us that Christian prayer is at its most powerful when you are alone with God, speaking to him from your heart, when there's no one else to hear, no one else to impress, when you're alone with your Father. And then we noted that Christian prayer must never be casual. It's not something that you can just slip in and out of. It's a commitment to God that you make, that you will come every day. Nothing will stop you, and you will come through every day. Not just a few minutes, perhaps at the beginning of the day and off you go, but that you will come through every day speaking to him. And then last time we noted that you come to your Father as a little child. You come to your Heavenly Father with affection, yes, but with respect. Those are just some of the things that Jesus teaches his followers about how to pray. But today we move on to Jesus' teaching on what to pray for whenever we come to the Father in prayer. Don't you, like me and others I've heard say, don't you sometimes wonder what you're going to say? Don't you wonder what to pray for? And there are a number of verses that we could turn to in looking at this, but I've just mentioned just a few. That's why we didn't have a Bible reading as such today, as I want to read these various verses to you. And before I do, can I underline that in looking at all of this, we mustn't make prayer so complicated, thinking, have I remembered to do that bit that he spoke about and this bit? We mustn't make prayer like that. But this is simply learning from Jesus in order to help us to form a pattern, a habit. Prayer is part of a living relationship It's natural. So that our prayer times, although they are natural, become more like the praying that Jesus says is acceptable to and pleasing to God. As I say, in no particular order, and I've only picked out a few, but Jesus teaches that we must always pray for unbelievers to be drawn to God. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And this prayer is everywhere in Jesus' teaching. Every Christian has family, has friends, neighbours and colleagues and contacts that are outside God's kingdom but are known to us. And that's your own mission field. That's my own mission field. Pray that their eyes would be opened and that they will be saved. And then in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, we read, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This is another emphasis that Jesus directs all his children to pray for harvesters, for preachers, for evangelists, and people who will serve and will work to bring in God's harvest. Because Jesus says there is a harvest. There is a harvest out there ready to be brought in. This should be a part of our prayer every day. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into God's harvest field. And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Bring before the Lord, Jesus says, those who oppose the gospel. There are many today, ardently, viciously oppose the gospel, who stand against Christian belief. Pray for them. Don't think that it's impossible for God to bring them to himself. Pray that their words and their false teaching may be brought to nothing. Pray for those people who have hurt you. Pray for them. And as you do, your own heart will become softer. And as you pray, you can pray and desire good things for them. And then, of course, Jesus tells us that we must pray for ourselves. We ask for forgiveness every day and throughout the day. We ask for forgiveness where we failed. We ask to be protected from Satan's temptations. We bring our cares and our needs to God, not to ask for comfort, not to ask for an easy life as such, but we bring our needs. Pray that God's kingdom purposes will come about and work through our lives. And there are many other things, but to close this now, I just want to point out how Jesus taught his disciples, not just with words, but by his own example. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places alone and prayed. Jesus made time and a place as a regular habit to pray to his Father. He showed his disciples that he didn't just, as they were walking on, just slip into a little prayer meeting or a little prayer time. He went alone. Being alone with your Father is the powerhouse. It was an absolute daily priority for Jesus. As we read through the Gospels, we find Jesus always praying when he was stretched and busy. The very times that we often let go of prayer, but all the time when Jesus was stressed and stretched and busy and had important decisions to take. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. One of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside alone to pray and spent the night praying to God, and when morning came he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them who he designated apostles. What a momentous decision time for Jesus. And what did he do? Went alone to his Father. Prayed long hours so that he would know in his human nature who to choose as his apostles. And then you remember the night before he was to be betrayed that Jesus said to Peter, "Satan has desired to have you, but I have prayed for you." When Jesus was at times of the greatest trials and burdens, you will always find him in prayer. So if Jesus, the Son of God, in his human nature, needed prayer like that, how is it that we so often think we can manage and get by without it? How much more do we need to develop and maintain a God-honoring, pleasing, right prayer life? It's where you and I, it's where Church on the Green will do real business with our God. And so now our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have had the privilege of gathering before you in this way. We thank you for your word and the way that your word has changed our lives. We thank you for the way that it has encouraged us over the years and how it has kept us. And now, Lord, we ask you to do great things for us, to hear our prayer and to draw people to yourself. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I've got a question for you this week. I came across it in my reading through the Bible. See how you get on with this one. Who was the only Old Testament child who at birth was named by someone outside the family? All other children that were born were named by the family, but there was one child who was named by someone who was completely outside the family of the newborn child. What's the name? So that's the question. And now we turn to sing together to close our little service, a song that reminds us that all God's promises that he's made to us are a big yes in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Flesh of a woman born. cause you.